It is time now for Conversations with the Mayors here on 97.9 The Hill. Support for the segment comes from the members for the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro, who are inviting you to join their local business leader community. You can get connected, stay informed, and drive progress with those other business leaders. Go to their website, carolinachamber.org, to learn more about the chamber and chamber membership today. It is Wednesday, so we are talking Orange County local government, and there's a good bit to catch up on the county level with Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price. Renee, happy Wednesday. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Happy Wednesday to you, and it's been a beautiful day.
I know it. It has been. We've been really lucky in this latest stretch. Really, really great fall weather, even though today's a little bit warmer than I like my fall to be. But yeah, just so lucky.
Yeah, I know. And we'll suffer for it later, probably. this weather kind of interrupts a lot of life cycles. And so I don't know whether we'll get more insects next spring or what. But
yep. I think you're right. I think you're right. We've just got to try and enjoy it now and then face the consequences down the road. A good bit to catch up on from the Orange County Board of Commissioners meeting last night. There was not a whole bunch on the agenda, but certainly a few things I want to touch on. And probably the thing we've been talking about most today, Renee, and it's not too surprising, is, of course, the resolution for the Green Tract. Carrboro Town Council also passed theirs on Tuesday night. And now that Orange County has done the same with Carrboro, Chapel Hill expected to do it tonight too. You know, what are your thoughts on moving into this next phase of these governments all being on the same page? I think it's fair to say that plans were a little derailed with the pandemic over the last year. So kind of restarting those conversations again with all the governments on the same level.
During the pandemic, we actually solidified our intent to work together on this and to make some progress. I mean, you got to remember, this has been going on for over 40 years. I mean, over 20 years. I guess that's what you call a Freudian slip. It really is 40 years when you consider that the historic Rogers Road community had been suffering with the landfill for so long. But we really needed to invest in the community. And this vote that we had last night and the one that Chapel Hill will take this evening means that we can move forward in providing some of the other services that you need for a good, well-rounded neighborhood or community. And the members from the neighborhood, they came out and spoke, which I was so pleased and so proud to see them there to say, this is what we want. We need housing. We need a workforce housing. We need housing for our families. And eventually, there may need to be a school in that area as well, considering the number of families that we hope will move in, and so that kids can walk to school the way that I did when I was young. So I think, you know, what the pandemic did was kind of put off, it delayed our ability to present the recombination plan. We wanted to do it in a way that we made sure that everyone had a chance to see it. I mean, those of us that have internet connections and, you know, multiple computers in our homes, we could go online and look at the plans, but we wanted to make sure that people in the community that may not have all those resources also could see what was on the table. And so we had the open house, we had the Q&A session the next evening, and then this week, you know, we did the vote.
Yeah. Absolutely. You mentioned the open house. I'm glad you did, since we talked about that a little bit last week and leading up to it. I imagine there probably are still some people out there who might have missed that or might just be confused if they hear, oh, the Green Tract is back on the agenda for Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. So what does this resolution truly mean? Because these are largely what was passed between the two governments so far. It's largely conceptual and procedural advancements, right? It's not saying, oh, it's official, we're going to be putting affordable housing right here or anything like that.
Oh, correct. We didn't put a road in there or a stop sign or anything like that. No footprints, no building footprints or envelopes. This was just the concept. And there had been a concept plan that we approved, 2 years ago. And but even Chapel Hill and even myself, because of my background in planning, does it really make sense to designate certain land uses or before you even know whether or not it's going to be viable or suitable or feasible? So we asked, we hired Sentara consultants to come in and do an environmental assessment, and that's what they did. And that is what caused us to shift some of the lines. And so we took away 23 acres over here and put 23 acres back over there. And so we still have the same percentages, but this really just puts a finer tip on the point as to where we might want to put development, and making sure that we were preserving the headwaters and the wetlands and the sensitive areas that most needed to be preserved.
We're speaking with Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, Renee Price, about last night's Orange County Commissioners meeting. You can find all of their materials from that by going to orangecountync.gov. And obviously that was part of the meeting, but there were other things that were on the agenda too. One item that was kind of hidden in the consent agenda, but I think a lot of people will be interested in, is the Orange County Public Library moving to a fine-free model for overdue materials. What can you tell us more about that, Renee?
Oh, yes. Well, we had several suggestions coming from the community about it, that other jurisdictions were doing the same. And I think this is a really good move. When I had heard about it, and I even spoke with the manager and said, you know, is this something that we can do? How much do we really make on fines? You know, how much income is generated? Do we lose books? I mean, is it really necessary? And we decided it's not necessary. It's not as important as getting people, especially young people, into the library to read and to explore. So this way, people can still come in and not feel guilty about having that overdue book and not being able to pay for it. And it breaks down a lot of barriers. The one thing that we had been doing in the past was on certain days, I think it was maybe twice a year, maybe more than that, but you could bring, canned goods or some type of staple, and that would go to the food, you know, to our food pantries, or to some charity or charitable organization, and you could erase your fines that way. Now, those programs will still be going on. They still will be collecting food and other items at the library at different times of the year. In fact, they will be collecting items from November 17th to December 17th as we head into the holiday season when people really have multiple needs. So that will still be going on. But yes, now we will be a fine-free library system.
As the son of a children's librarian, I can certainly attest to the feeling of guilt anytime something is late. And, you know, there's a difference between something being late just because you couldn't drop it off versus, you know, having to pay a fine for a book or a DVD or anything like that being damaged. Those fines are still in place. But this is truly just, you know, if it's right. If it ends up being past its due date, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be taken out back by the librarians and taught a lesson or anything like that. It is It, as you mentioned, it's because libraries are such great resources, right? I feel like in the time of the internet, their importance has been kind of put on the back burner in terms of the public perception. But there are so many things that our various libraries across our community offer that make it just really easy where you can go to one place and get all of these resources.
Right. And, you know, it was the library that was rather in demand during the pandemic, but we couldn't open it. We had our library staff doing other tasks and responsibilities, you know, in relation to the pandemic, but people wanted to go to the library. They missed the library. So it really is a community resource. Sometimes we maybe take it for granted because, as you say, we have the internet, we can always look up stuff. Where can you actually go and just get lost in a book? You know, some people can do it at home, but, you know, just going to the library and discovering a new book and beginning to read it. And it's always fun places. And children, too. They've always had good programs at our library. So this is going to, I think, open the library up even more.
We're speaking with Orange County Commissioner Renee Price. Anything else from that meeting last night that you want to highlight for people who might have missed it?
Yes, we did a proclamation declaring November as Native American Heritage Month. It's a national proclamation as well. Our President Joe Biden had signed a similar proclamation as did our Governor Roy Cooper, and we did it as well. And a lot of people, unless you really study local history, you may not realize upon whose land our homes are now built. And many tribal members still live here. But I think it's really important to understand that this land was once protected and conserved and by Native peoples. And they were the first ones here, and they lived here for over 12,000 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the one other thing I want to say is that on November 26th is Native American Heritage Day. And one of the things that Tony Hayes told us last night, he's the tribal chief, is that the North Carolina Museum, a history museum, will be having a program on Native Americans on November 20th. So go online. It's free, and you can learn about all the people that had dwelt in this area and still do.
Well, that definitely sounds interesting. If you want to hear more of those comments around the proclamation or check out the proclamation itself, you can head to orangecountync.gov to find the meeting materials from last night's Board of Commissioners meeting. And Renee, we have just a few moments left. Anything else coming up in the next few days that you want to highlight for folks?
Thanksgiving.
That's a pretty big one. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope, you know, a lot of people travel during that time. Hopefully, with people having gotten their vaccinations and their boosters, that perhaps they can get together with family, and I hope they have the opportunity to do that, or with friends, very close friends. And it's a time that I think even if you're unable to get together with folks, just give thanks. And I hope everyone does have a good and safe holiday. I would say, just as a reminder in terms of the county, that we will be coming back on December 6th. That's Monday. That is what is mandated in the state legislature, that we have our organizing meeting on Monday, the first Monday in December after an election. And then the following week, we will have our final, it doesn't seem possible, but our final meeting for the calendar year. And just want to keep people up to date on that.
It is going to be here before we know it. Well, again, orangecountync.gov, the website to go to for all things county government. As always, Commissioner Price, thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Okay, and thank you.